You are listening to Trax Cultures, where we talk about what it means to transition across cultures. Our show covers major themes that are important for cross-cultural travelers, for expats, and for their friends at home and abroad. In the work we do, we invest a lot of energy in finding the intersection of faith, art, and culture. This podcast especially looks at the culture and faith intersections viewed through the lens of transition from one culture to another. This is episode 2 of Trax Cultures. I'm your host, Mike Picanato. This is a legacy episode from our former podcast, Unterwegs, the En Route podcast, and was originally released on June 9th, 2021. We are re-releasing the old episodes here to be sure people can find the whole series in one place. Enjoy the podcast. Today's episode is part 2 of a 3-part series in which we are talking about the importance of beginning with the endings. We're joining the conversation as Jenny and Stephen answer the question about how their family and friends reacted to news about the upcoming transition in their life.
I think most of the people that we were close to, which included our family, I would say the majority were excited. And some were not negative, but maybe like, why? Questioning or a little perplexed, but not negative.
I think there is a weird thing, you know, I mean, and for so long in the process, you know, we didn't know, because it was about a year between when we got the email saying, hey, would you consider whether God would be leading you in this way? It's like a year between that and when we went through the final interview. And so it was a long time of not knowing whether or not this was actually happening, but thinking that it might and starting to live as though it was going to happen. And I think there's something about being in that process of saying, I think that maybe God is calling us to leave here, that does somehow change your relationship with people. In some ways, it can either add more dimension to it or it can flatten it. Like, I feel like there are people that I used to have more multidimensional relationships with that now it feels like it's collapsed the relational possibilities, because now they have a category for us and that's how they can relate to us. And some of the other ways that we have related are no longer available. So we're in this new category of, you know, ministry or cross-cultural ministry or missions or whatever category people kind of put us into as they hear what we're headed into. So that's been interesting. And then I think for other people, it has opened up new ways of interacting, even where, yeah, I don't know, it's almost like we become accessible or approachable in a way that we weren't before. So, there's kind of a weird double movement there, and you can't predict who's going to respond which way. But I think that one of the things that has been, I don't know, again, there's maybe two sides of it. I think in some ways it makes me feel more vulnerable, because I'm like, okay, you know, us saying that we believe that God is calling us into this ministry doesn't mean that we're saying, well, we've arrived as Jesus followers, or, you know, that we've attained some kind of, you know, moral perfection or anything like that. And so, but I still think that it kind of, I feel like, I don't know, like maybe people watch us more closely or something. And I think maybe they have a right to, but it feels more vulnerable in that way. And then on the flip side of that, I think there's that kind of pedestaling that can happen.
Can we talk just for a couple minutes about the cocoon stage, that neutral zone area, and what that is? And we'll come back to that in another episode, but I think there's elements of you guys' life that are touching on that right now too.
Yeah, I mean, just in short, it's so neutral zone, I think, is sometimes a little bit of a misunderstood title, because it's neutral not in the sense of being neither positive nor negative. It's neutral in the sense, like, if you put your car in neutral and you step on the accelerator, you can step on that accelerator all you want, But all you're going to do is burn energy. It's disconnected from the movement when you're in neutral. And that's, it's more the sense of neutrality in the neutral zone. And it comes from kind of that cumulative effect of all of those endings put you into the space of not really being sure about very much, not really being sure even at a basic level, who are you? And, you know, sometimes we talk about things like role deprivation, like if one of your endings is related to a role that you've found identity in, and then that role isn't, then who are you? Well, that's a hugely disruptive ending. And even if you have a title to replace it, if you don't have the identity yet to replace it, then it leaves you in between. And there are so many things like that that happen within any transition, but particularly in a cross-cultural or international transition. There's just, it just feels very chaotic. When I draw it, I just make all of these really obnoxiously looping circles that just, it just looks like this cloud of chaos. And yeah, I think we're starting to feel a little bit of that.
Yeah, I think something that was significant for me for thinking about the neutral zone is, I think it was when we moved to Minnesota and we lived in an apartment, but when we moved to our house, it was maybe a year or so after we had moved to our house, and something clicked inside of me and I felt like, oh, I could dream about all these different things that I can do or different ways of living here. But before that, there was none of it. Like I didn't feel like I had the capacity to change anything. I was just trying to figure out, how do I maintain any semblance of our family life or my personal life or even relationships? So that sense of like swirling around trying to grasp for something that felt normal or felt right. But then it was like it almost felt like I woke up one morning and I'm like, oh, okay, this is who I am here. And then all of these doors started opening. But before that, there was none of that sense of well-being.
I think a lot of people work really hard at skipping the neutral zone altogether. And so they find themselves, as they're ending, wanting to jump right to the beginning. One way people do that a lot is they try not to say goodbye to one job role without knowing what their roles will look like in a new place. And I've seen that with a lot of workers who try to define really well in advance without understanding how the team works or how the culture works, exactly how the role will look like in a new location. And it just makes the new beginning sometimes even more painful if you don't go through the time in that neutral zone.
Because the reality is you can't perceive the new thing because you don't understand the right context yet. And so it's like, I mean, it's been fun for us to dream with the team there about what things might end up looking like. But the reality is we don't know anything, you know?
Well, and it's even like we take who we are now and the gifts and talents and abilities, experience that we have now, and we envision that in a place that we haven't lived. And it's like, well, I'm sure there'll still be some sort of element of that there, but to sort of try to imagine that it's going to be exactly the same, or that I'll have the same capacity or the same competency, yeah, it's unknowable at this point.
Let's talk about some of these endings that you guys have experienced and maybe some that you anticipate walking through in the next several weeks and months. And I know it's been, in many ways, a very emotional last couple of weeks for you guys as you've gone through some fairly big endings. What were some of the endings that have occurred in the last couple of weeks that you had anticipated taking place?
The dog, this one. We knew almost right away when we started considering, whether or not there was a call to Germany for us. We knew almost right away that the dog couldn't be part of that journey.
So like the ending of the dream of like, oh, what could this relationship look like? Or what, not that I'm like a dog trainer extraordinaire, anything. No, but it was like, I started to dabble in some things of like, oh, what could this look like? Or how does this fit in our family or in our life? And so like the ending of those, of that particular like dream or inspiration or passion or whatever was like, oh, do I try anymore? Like, you know, like for a while it's felt that way of like, how much do we try still? Mm. So it's like even like an ending within an ending.
I think,
yeah,
another ending is just a few days ago we moved out of my office at the college, and I've hardly been there this year. I quit the role that I had been in over a year ago now. I submitted my resignation in anticipation of the move and getting ready to go. And I've had a much reduced role this year. And in the spring, I've hardly been in the office at all. Like hardly at all, almost none. There's still something though about moving out of the office and the finality of that. Of course, it'll feel more final once I get all my grades done and turned in, but yeah, there's just like, that was so much of our identity as a family, is that that's what I did for a role, for a job. And I think one of the things that I realized kind of one of those endings that snuck up on me with that was realizing like, oh, there are certain colleagues I will probably not see again, maybe ever. And that surprised me because I hadn't realized that I would, you know, because I won't go to graduation. Part of that's COVID related, but I won't. Yeah, some of the end of year stuff that I might normally be involved with, I won't. And yeah, just realizing like, oh, I probably have seen some of my students for the last time without knowing it. And that happens every year, but now there's just this sense of finality to it. Yeah, so even though there was an anticipated ending, there were those sneaky ones that, you know, went with it.
I think that's really insightful from you, Jenny, with the idea of it, not just the loss of a dog, but the loss of the dreams of what that could have been, mm-hmm. with the dog. And I think it's probably the same, Stephen, with the position in the office at the college. When you mm-hmm. moved in, it wasn't just, hey, my name is on a different door. It's also, what could this become? And
yeah.
And yeah, with the transitions, there's a lot of that you have to deal with as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, as we've sorted through all of our different house stuff, it's like you start all the projects, you're like, well, you know, that might not be for right now, but it'll be for some time. Or the thing you saved, or the stash that you've built up, or whatever, that you're like, oh, that isn't going to look the same here. It's one of those things that like, maybe something like that will be on the other side. But as far as this location right now in this place, in areas that I know, is done.
And even with stuff, like, I mean, I remember way back in October, which was what, like 7 months ago now, we had everything spread out on the driveway because we were sorting through the garage. And just coming, like having to face all of these projects that we thought we were going to do, that it's like, oh no, like, you know, literally some of them we threw away that intention. You know, it's like, okay, it's gone. It's not part of us anymore. And I think, yeah, even just this week, I boxed up some collections of things and sent them to a friend who's going to try to sell them on eBay for me, you know, and it's like, oh, that's not how I thought that would end. You know, with that set of things that I was collecting, that I thought, oh, maybe I'll be a collector of such and such, you know, and it's like, oh, I guess I won't, or if I am, I'll have to start over, you know, or, you know, I don't know.
We're so blessed with space in the U.S. that we are often, our dreams and anticipated endings with the stuff and the things that we have take up a lot more space. And so when you suddenly have to downsize and consolidate, it's really weird.
Yeah.
What we end up going through and experiencing.
Yeah.
The magazines that you were going to read.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Or or the crafting projects that you were going to get to.
Yep. Yeah. Or the amount of like time that you spend at our massive upright piano. Like, we're like, well, that's probably not a reality for in, you know, in the way that we envision it, you know, because it takes up so much room, but it fits.
But I really like it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, but yeah. That's all part of it. And those are, sometimes they're both anticipated and surprising.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's also the thing of, so that, yeah, dreams on behalf of others that end as well. And even down to the way that we've done our garden has been way more intentional than it probably looks. Because it's our intention is to be very pollinator friendly, and also to be friendly to beneficial wasps and things like that that help to control, you know, problem insects. And so it means that there's a certain amount of mess in the garden, because that's where some of those things lay eggs, and you know, and or things like dandelions are great for bees. They're one of the first things that flower. And then this weekend when we had people over from the church helping with things, you know, just hearing some of the conversation about dandelions, and it's like, oh, but no, actually, like, yeah, that's there to feed the bees because the bees need the flowers. And anyway, I don't know, that kind of imagining what a space means, you know, or imagining, yeah, because it's, I don't know, maybe this is too getting in the weeds literally, but you know, it's like we imagined our little plot of land in this town as being a stopping place for these insects and creatures from the natural world, and we have no control at all over what happens once we sell. We've got these beautiful apple blossoms that are just coming out right now.
So many.
And we, you know, we have no idea if the people who live here after us will keep the apple trees or not. Yeah, those kind of endings really, and they're hard because it's like, I know it's not right for me to keep an attachment to that. It's not healthy for me to do that, but I also don't want that dream to die. Yeah, I don't know.
What are some other endings that you're anticipating?
Well, I think for me, it's one that's in process kind of right now, which is like being able to navigate the kids' school. Like, it's, you know, they're still in school right now. And so I still feel like I understand the system and the expectations. And so that's coming to a close soon. And I'm like, okay, this is the end of being familiar with how school goes is coming. And how to be like, hey, yeah, how to walk my kids through that. Yeah, that feels like an obvious one for me right now anyways.
And at this point, complicated by the fact that we don't know where your kids are going to school next year.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, even though we applied, what, like almost 4 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's an ending and entry into a really weird neutral zone that impacts you guys and them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think another ending that we're anticipating is the, at least the temporary ending of being able to confidently get around and accomplish what we need to. And a lot of that's language related, both language and culture. I think an ending that is sort of a weird one to anticipate is I expect that some of our friendships aren't gonna make it, but I don't know which ones. Mm. And I So I know that that ending is there, and I don't want it to be there, but I have just seen enough other people transition that I know that that's a likely reality.
I think there's even that sense of we've done transition a couple of times in life, just a few, never across country, nation lines as a family, but that you feel like as much as there are endings, sometimes the endings, now there's a question of like, well, is there a promise of something that looks like this on the other side? So even, for example, like with our apple trees. So last time, well, when we moved away from Omaha, we had apple trees. And I told Stephen, we can't move until in our next place. If we plant trees, we can't move until we get a harvest, because we didn't get anything from our apple trees there.
Because it takes a few years.
Yeah. So we got a... We harvested apples last year, so that came out.
We got probably 20 something.
I think more than that. And we got.
No, you're right. We probably got 50 like, something apples.
Yeah, 40-ish. Yeah. And we got 4 peaches. They were like kind of terrible, but they were still from our tree.
Peaches, yeah.
And so I think there's a sense that when I have the emotional capacity, I'm like, okay, I look back and I'm like, there are parts of what I love that continued on. And so there's a sense of promise in some of the endings. The hard part is just not knowing which ones.
I think there's also like things that you're uncomfortable with can also end right in the transition. And I think that there are some of those, like one weird thing for me always has been, I don't look like any of the men in our town. And so I just always feel very visible here. And even our son told me the other day, I was getting ready to drop him off at school, and he said, yeah, my friends all say you look weird. It's like, okay.
12-year-olds, you know, their capacity to understand difference.
But I always feel very conspicuous in this town. It's a town of about 4,000 people. And I don't particularly like that. And I think in some ways, being in a place where there is more diversity, and more of a opportunity to kind of blend in is actually something that I'm looking forward to getting back to. So, I mean, that's an ending that I don't feel terrible about that one. And I think even some things with church, like the question of our regular involvement is mixed, right? There are things that we already miss, like you miss being on the worship team and tech team.
There was a sense that that one was pretty early on. Like, I stopped doing that in February. And the last Sunday that I did it was really hard. I'm sitting back there trying to do slides, making sure I don't, like, lose it in the midst of the service and all of that. Then also, like, recently having a conversation with a friend about worship team and what's happening and changes and being like, oh, I am the complete outsider right now. I have ended being on the inside of that group and knowing the changes and the difficulties, which I enjoyed interacting with this particular friend about. We both did it. Yeah, it was a fun part of our relationship.
And it's challenging sometimes because you're processing through these endings and nobody else really knows. Mm-hmm. What's going on? It's your last Sunday on the tech team. And I don't know how many other people really even knew this is your last Sunday on the tech team.
Yep.
And life goes on the tech team. And there's all these conversations that are happening. And you're not on the team, but nobody thinks of that ending of the feeling of being connected that you experience. And those are hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, even being a part of, like future planning. Like I felt that when we moved to Minnesota, of all this future planning of certain events would go around outside, like I might be a part. So in Omaha, I was a part of this like book club and we'd get together. And so they started talking about future dates that I wasn't going to be present at. Mm-hmm. And it was like, oh, I am outside right now. I am an insider outsider like of this group in that moment. And yeah, definitely feeling that here. And when our kids feel that too, you know, people are talking about summer sports and activities or, yeah, just different things that are happening or different events that, you know, friends want to do. You know, Rosemary's friends are getting jobs and she's like, I mean, she's worked for our business, so she's had some of that, but not in, you know, it's not going to look the same as her friends around her. Yeah.
You guys are experiencing these endings in the middle of a global pandemic, mm-hmm. which means that a lot of the endings have to maybe come with some extra pain in the transition. And I guess I'm thinking especially of endings that you can't anticipate, like, oh, this will be our last Christmas with family,
right? Mm-hmm.
That's then impacted by the pandemic. How have you guys experienced maybe some of those endings in emotional ways you didn't anticipate a year and a half ago because of COVID?
Well, for sure, we had our last Christmas with family
a year
without
a half.
Knowing it.
Yeah.
Mm. We didn't go to be with family this year because of COVID. And that introduced some angst into our relationships family. With some of our family. But
yeah.
I over and over again have just been like, oh, this is so frustrating with trying to navigate some of these things with the pandemic. And some of it has to do with we have friends who are on both sides of us in terms of being more or less cautious. Yeah, so even having people from the church over, you know, trying to navigate that question of, okay, well, what do masks or not masks look like? And, you know, and how does that fit with how vaccinated we are? And, you know, like all of those kinds of things that are just like, oh, this is just so awkward. And, you know, things like we probably would normally try to have some kind of a picnic or something to get together with a bunch of people before we go. And it's like, well, what's even responsible? And,
but I feel like in some ways COVID, we felt a blessing mm-hmm. with COVID last summer.
Which I hate even saying that
because there's so much pain, so yeah. much pain. But the fact that we sort of had the excuse of being tighter knit as an individual family unit to start some patterns together that felt meaningful.
And refocus our identity as a family unit.
Yeah. Be like, who are we as this family? And what's important to us? And so I felt like we were, that was for us something good that came out of, you know, having to be more isolated and even spending time with Steven's dad. He became part of our bubble. He was in our group. And so having that opportunity to spend that time with him more and feeling like we were supporting him.
Thank you for joining us today for part two of Beginning with the Endings. Please join us again next week for part three as we continue in this series from Stephen Jones' book, Transitions Across Cultures.
This podcast was produced by Envision Berlin in our studios located in Berlin, Germany. If you'd like to send us a note, feel free to send your email to podcast@envisionberlin.com. Thanks for listening.